I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
My first big job as an adult when I had kids, I was working 10 to 12 hours a day, working in retail as an art director, which was fantastic. But like my wife always said, was she felt like a single parent because I was working so hard. And in my head, I was working so hard and so often and trying to succeed in my career that I was, you know, providing for the family.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to The Dad Experience. I'm always excited to have an episode coming at our listeners. Thanks to those that are joining us. Thanks to our new listeners. Thanks to our, ones that have been with us since the beginning. So it's been about 2 years now that we've been doing this podcast, and every episode gets more exciting and just really excited to talk to the folks we have on today. Today we have children author and illustrators, Casey Bowers and Alex Clark. They have a fantastic book out that my children love, and the concept is great. And we're going to talk all about this stuff, and it's better for me to just let them talk about it because it's so great. My kids love it. And then I know further down the show, they're going to tell you how you guys can get that book. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hi there. Hey, hey. Thanks for having us.
You know, we always like to start the show. Maybe we'll start a little bit different, but we always like to start the show with who lives with you at home and what is the makeup of your household. So, Casey, do you want to take that first? And then, Alex, you want to kind of maybe jump in after?
Sure. Sounds good. I live at home with my wife, Kelly, of almost 18 years. My oldest son, Kian, youngest son, Kylan, and my daughter, Cora. It's 11, 9, and 7. And then we've got two cats.
All right. The cats. So did the kids take care of the cats yet, or is it still, you know, mom and dad's job?
It's still mom and dad's job.
Yeah. But I'm sure that day is probably coming, right?
I would hope so. But they're, the cat locked in the basement, and the kids aren't allowed to go to the basement.
Yeah. Well, someday that'll be off your plate, hopefully. So Alex, what about you? Who lives with you at home?
Well, so my beautiful wife of, 19 years, holy moly, Amy, she's also a podcaster and an actor and works for a science museum here in Columbus. And my two boys, Chasen and Kyan. Chasen is 15 and Kyan's 12. And we have two dogs who are with us currently in the studio, sleeping, being quiet, thank goodness.
All right. Well, even if they join in, you know, our listeners, they know that we're all dads and family man and just like to be involved. So it's sometimes crying happens on the show. Sometimes interruptions slightly happen on the show, and we try and keep it more natural. So even if it happens, I'm sure they are all forgiving of us. So, you know, one of you guys want to just kind of give an elevator speech about the book When I Grow Up?
Sure. Well, it's a fun book of cool careers that kids can really picture themselves in. Literally, that's kind of been our tagline or whatever. But it uses simple rhyme and the awesome illustration from Alex. And I always thought the great thing about it was that it holds up to four pictures and the picture window wheel on the back. Because I have three kids, I wanted them to see themselves in the story too. So whoever is being read to or whoever's reading the book can see themselves in the story also.
Yeah. And you know what I like about it too, is at the end, you kind of, you know, not to give much away, but at the end you talk about for more fun, you can add pics of your pet, your favorite superhero. Mm-hmm. It's so cool because you add more creativity to the story. It's not a story that, or a book that just kind of gets, you read it once or twice and then they want to have it again at bedtime or whatever. It's one of those things you can keep kind of reimagining as the reader, which is really neat.
Yeah. That was one thing I was talking to another children's author about, and was talking about the replay value or, you know, reread value. Mm-hmm. And was saying that with a book like ours, because it's so customizable or, you know, there's that creative outlet for it. Like I've got a friend whose niece took pictures of her favorite stuffed animals mm-hmm. and put those in the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, just has a good time with it.
Yeah. That's We've had really a lot neat. Of parents who've gotten this for either baby shower gifts or for, they only have one kid. And yeah, they're like, we put pictures of all of us in there. We put pictures of grandparents. I mean, you name it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That is fun. That's really neat. And it sparks more creativity, I would imagine, for the kids too, which is so important at young ages that they need to just be more creative and expand that. So that's really cool that was incorporated into the book.
Yeah.
So why get into children's writing or illustrating? Why did you guys decide to do that?
It's a great question.
Well, I knew I had something that my kids would like at least. And I really liked the idea of writing something that was, you know, meant to bring joy and, you know, provide some inspiration maybe. And it was really born out of this idea of, well, my youngest son, he would ask me before he went to bed, what was he going to dream about that night? And the ones that, the dreams that he liked the most were the ones that he could see himself, could picture himself in something. And it was like interesting careers. I'd be like, oh, you know, you're going to explore the, you know, the Mariana Trench as a deep sea diver, or, oh, you're going to, you know, be a punk rock singer mm-hmm. up on stage. So there's, and those are just two of the careers that we pictured, that we included in the book.
Yeah. My journey into children's books has been a little bit interesting because I kind of fell into it. So I'm an art director by day, and I've always been an illustrator, have a background in illustration. And years ago, my son, he had a speech impediment when he was younger. And so he was going through a speech therapy. And my wife went to an organization that was for speech and everything else in Pittsburgh. And she got to be really close with them. And they told her that they were looking for an illustrator. And she was like, for what? And they said, oh, for a children's book. We have this idea for a children's book we'd like to put out from the organization. And she goes, my husband can do it. And so that was actually my first children's book. And then my second one was from a board member from that organization. So this is actually my third one, and we're working on my fourth one. So technically I just kind of fell into it, and I love it. I do comic books on the side and children's books, but the children's books has been really rewarding. And oh my gosh, it's so great to meet the kids, talk to the kids, hang out with the kids, and talk about illustrations and artwork and jobs and careers. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of to follow up with that, my question is, you kind of hit on it, is when you talk to the kids, when you guys do, if you do readings of the book, when you go to, I don't know if it's at bookstores or libraries or community events, what is that experience like? I mean, that's got to be pretty cool to be there and read to those kids. And is there anything that's just like this memorable thing that has ever happened when you guys go out and do that?
Well, we had a launch event at the Upper Arlington Public Library, and it was pretty surreal.
Yeah.
Because there were so many like kids that came and they loved the book, and they were telling us, you know, they loved the book. And one of the questions that we got, I think from a kid, mm-hmm. right, was, when are you doing the next one?
Yeah.
What's the next one going to be like? And so it was just, it was pretty insane, especially when they came up and they wanted us to actually sign the books or, you know, mm-hmm. talk about it. It's like,
yeah,
wow, this is real. This is really real.
Yeah. I did a couple school visits for my last book, and it's crazy because one school you go into and they bring in the kids class at a time into the library, and these kids just think you're a rock star. Like, it's just amazing. These kids think you're famous, and they want your autograph, and they want to shake your hand, and they just want to talk to you about, like, you drew this and this is so cool, blah, blah. One school I went into, they brought in the entire school into the gym at one fell swoop, and I'm just standing there with basically just me at a big pad of paper, and I had to entertain the entire school of 400 kids for like an hour. So, I mean, it's exciting to talk to kids, and you want to inspire them, and you want to let them know that they can grow up to be creative. I mean, I brought up some kids and talked to them about the illustrations that someone had to do on their t-shirts. And I brought up about like the cartoons that they watch and the packaging that's on their yogurt, you know, tubes. Like, someone had to design that. Someone had to draw that. And so it's really cool to see them be like, oh, I could actually have a career or a job in the arts. Like, I could be a writer. I could be an illustrator. So they get really excited. And as long as you keep them entertained, like, that's all that matters. Make it fun.
Yeah, no, I bet. And that's cool. So it's funny that you mentioned too at the beginning, that is, I was going to ask the same thing. I'm like, is there an idea to do this again? Because I mean, there's great professions in the book that you currently have, but I mean, it would be so expandable, which is so cool. You know, that probably is something, like, maybe there's kids out there that have ideas like, oh, what about this job or that? So it's got
to be. Well,
at
our book event that Casey was talking about, we were talking to the librarian, and she goes, I love this book. It's so cool, but we can't have it in the library. And we kind of looked at each other like, why not? And she said, well, it's interactive, and the kids are going to rip out the picture wheel in the back and everything else. And she goes, if you guys have like an A to Z book of careers, we would totally rock that. Like, we could put that in a library right now, like a board book. And so we told her we've actually been thinking about that. Actually, Casey, you got how many careers written?
Written the whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing's already written.
All right.
So we're working on our second book together as a team, but I think that'll probably be the third one, right?
I don't know.
You got a million ideas. He just keeps writing of ideas. So
creativity at its best, right? Though that's mm-hmm. what's important, is just keep creating and collaborating, and that's what I feel like makes the world turn and makes our families turn and all that stuff. So that's so cool. So what? Why do you think storytelling or reading or sharing your stories or experiences is so important for our children?
I think it's just in our nature to tell stories and want to hear stories. What a great outlet for kids to come up with their own stories. I mean, I guess been blessed with kids who mm-hmm. we do have that creative adeptness, I guess. And mm-hmm. All my kids love to read, and my oldest is actually writing a children's book, I guess. And he's got a premise, and he's just having fun drawing and thinking up ideas, and he's got his little notepad. And aside from that, just universally, reading is just so important. And if you can nurture that love of reading, then you can mm-hmm. that becomes a love of learning, and that's just so important as far as school and career and everything else that follows. So
absolutely.
Kids,
go ahead.
I was just saying, my kids love to read. Like, they're in that weird phase, like I said, they're older, so they're kind of getting out of it. They still love comic books. Like, that's my fault. That's all me. But they still have comic books, but I'm trying to get them into bigger books. My one son, both my kids have autism, and my oldest, he was reading Harry Potter like 3 or 4 years old. So he's had just a voracious appetite for reading for 15 years. But we always read to the kids growing up. I mean, Dr. Seuss, I mean, seriously, you can't do any better than Dr. Seuss, but read to them every night for like an hour, and just, we've kind of instilled that in them, and now they're starting to want to create. Like, they want to write. Kai and my youngest started a blog a couple of years ago just to like write and create stories. So it's just, we've instilled that in our kids, and we think it's really great, and we hope we can do that to others,
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed now because kids are getting older, and so those kids' books, I loved reading, like 3 a night or 4 a night or however many, that were only like 15, 20 pages or, whatever it was, but it's like, oh, no, that's a classic. What are you doing? You're not reading that one anymore?
It sits on a shelf.
No, yeah. And did you guys do anything? I know you mentioned about Harry Potter. Did you guys do anything as a family or read that together? I always hear people doing that. I mean, I'm not at that age yet. My kids are still pretty young. My oldest is 2.5. And my youngest just turned 1. So I'm not there yet. I'm excited about that. But have you had an experience with that yet? Or was it just kind of independent reading on those?
It was kind of independent reading. Because he was so smart. Like, he actually graduated high school at 13. So he's super smart. Yeah. He started reading that. I don't know why or how. My wife would obviously remember this better than I would. But yeah, I've never read the books. That I'm older, so we kind of missed the boat on that. But he's read all of them, and I've seen all the movies. And so, yeah.
Go ahead.
For me, my wife Kelly was reading the first Harry Potter book to our youngest son, Kylan. And I actually was kind of telling my oldest son, Kian, about Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was last summer, we ended up, taking turns reading on passages, back and forth. And we completed the Hobbit.
That's cool.
And so he loved that. And he's like, oh, I heard there's a movie. Can I watch that now? Well, we got the book, buddy. Sure.
No, that's super cool. And it's funny, like, as an adult, even I, I enjoyed doing. My wife and I were kind of nerds here, but we kind of would do that. We would find a book that we both wanted to read, and we would take turns too reading it. Like I said, my kids were just reading the 10, 15 page stories right now, but that's something I look forward to as a parent, because it just seems to be something you could share, something you can talk about, but also just imagine and expand more of that creativity, because you can bounce ideas. Well, what do you think this is? Or yeah. It's just so neat. So it's nice to hear that other folks do that. And I'm not just in, you know, my wife and I do it, you know, we read books that we want to read together, but it's nice to know that that's still happening. And it's something that's still, you know, people are still gravitating to. So it's refreshing.
Oh, absolutely. Can I ask you, what's a favorite 15 to 20 page, children's book that you're reading your kids right now, besides our book, When I Grow Up?
there's two that I really enjoy. Well, there's three. There's Hip Hop Alphabet. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, where it goes through the alphabet with classic, and I think there's some modern hip hop artists in there, which is super cool. Yeah, it's really cool, and the illustrations are really cool in that one. We had an author on that I didn't know the book until I talked to the author, Zach Bush, and he has a book called Made for Me, which is a cool dad child book. It's kind of geared around that relationship, so that's really nice for dads to read to their kids. And I love you, Stinky Face. And I think it's because my daughter likes to say the phrase, but mama. And it's kind of neat to see her kind of interpret that and read that. But I mean, there's so many. I mean, now that I'm saying it, we have a really cool version of Wonderful World that my daughter will actually sing some of the lyrics. You know, I'll stop and she'll take it over. And I think it's more the interaction that makes it so neat. And when they gravitate to those books, and I think about those books more, because they will start to memorize those lines and read those lines and interact, which is so, so neat. Gosh, there's so many. There's a little bit longer one, the Pop books. I don't know if you've seen those yet, but I the Back to the Future one, that's pretty neat, because it kind of does a short story of Back to the Future, the movie.
What? So
that's a cool one. Yeah. They have three of them. They have E.T., Back to the Future, and Die Hard, believe it or not.
Die Hard?
Stop. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, cool. So check those out. Those are a little bit older, but I still read them to my oldest daughter. I mean, because they're longer. Sure. So we read maybe part of it, and it's still only like a paragraph or two on a page, but it's a much longer book. Yeah. Those are super cool. And again, the illustrations and those are cool. So check those out. And that's a great question, because I haven't talked about, other than having Zach on our show, I haven't really talked about the books that we're reading. So that's awesome. What about you guys? What outside of your book, what other books do your kids enjoy, or did you enjoy reading to your kids?
Well, like I said, growing up, the kids, we read a lot of like Dr. Seuss and like Mercer Mayer, like Little Critters, stuff like that. Like anything that was, you know, that kind of stuff. My kids right now, like Chase just said he read, we got him The Hobbit, or yeah, because he's never read The Hobbit before. So we got him The Hobbit. He read The Hobbit. So we always get books for Christmas. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of the author. My son, because he's in middle school, has AR goals. And so he's been reading this one author. Can't remember his name, but he's awesome. And then I bought some from an illustrator that I found on Instagram named Adam Archer. He started illustrating and writing books that are print on demand through Amazon. So my son's been loving those. They're kind of mid-grade, kind of like vampires, I think. I don't know. So mine are a little bit older, so they're more into the older stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My oldest is still going through the Harry Potter series, but he has the same AR goal books that he has to read. And my youngest son, Kyle, he was really digging the I Survived series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are really big right now.
My son loves those.
Yeah, like I Survived the Titanic.
Yeah. I Survived the Hindenburg. Right. Yeah. I Survived World War II or Civil War. Yeah. Have you ever heard of those?
No, I have not seen those. You know, I teach high school, so I haven't seen them. And it sounds like, is that more middle school level? I haven't seen them yet, but man, I'm sure that's really neat to see. And it gives a little bit of understanding behind the story too. You know, you're learning more than outside of the, not that the creativity and the imagination isn't great in Harry Potter, because I think it's amazing, but it also gives some sort of like structure. So when they do get to it, maybe in history class or whatever, or in English class, they're like, wow, I read this story about this person. So you have a little bit of a knowledge. So that's really neat to see. Any of them read Ready Player One yet? Yeah, they're probably still a little young for that one. That one was one of my favorites.
Not mine. Yeah, no, Chase read. I read it about 3 or 4 years ago, and then I went out and bought him a copy because mine was kind of dinged up from reading it. And then I gave it to my oldest son, and he read that. Oh my gosh. Like, I swear, every night he read the thing through in like 3 days. He loved it so much. And then he was really upset when the movie came out and they diverged so much.
Yeah.
He got about halfway through and just left because he was like, I can't. This is a book. So he just left.
Yeah. No, I love that book. I love that one. And I was wondering, that's why I asked the question, because I wonder if a lot of those references in that book still hold true. Because I think some of my students that I've given it to, even though I'm a band teacher, I've always like kind of pushed that book because I love that book. They it loses something. And I thought that, well, maybe with the internet, they'll be like, oh, well, that they talk about, you know, Oingo Boingo, you know, and Dead Man Walking or whatever the tune was. And like, right. Maybe they'll look it up and listen to it. But, you know, kind of it still had a great effect. And I think because I was so passionate about it, they're either lying to me and said they loved it or they really did like it. But they just don't have that same, I don't know, they didn't have the same connection. So it's good to know that others do, which is so cool.
Yeah. It's weird because I've brought my kids up on the 80s, which is, I don't know if that's cool or sad, but I listen to, like, I'm a big Cure fan and Police and The Clash and stuff like that. Like, Casey's a big music guy too. So I've brought them up on 80s movies. Like, they love Back to the Future. They love Star Wars. They love Indiana Jones. So he actually got most of the references. And if he didn't, he went and looked them up and did some more exploration on the 80s. So it was really kind of cool because he would come to me and be like, oh, I didn't know about this or this happened. And he learned that from the book. So,
and, you know, so kind of going back to the book and to writing, I know you mentioned a little bit with about When I Grow Up that they kind of contributed from, you know, whether it was in a dream or whatever, that they had careers in any of the stories you're working on now or past stories you've worked on. Do you get any of your ideas from your children or do they kind of ever collaborate with you and kind of help you out through that?
Yeah, so far it's every single children's book that I've written, whether it's been published or not, has roots in an idea from my kids or interaction with them or a story or a joke or, you know, whatever. Our next book, can I say?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, it's not a big secret,
right? Well, it's going to be called Core in the Moon, and like I said, my daughter's name's Core, and it was inspired by listening to Claude Debussy's Clair de Lune, and some of the, stories I'd make up and everything before I went to bed. Mm-hmm. So she loved the Moon Song.
That's super.
That's super. One example.
Yeah. And let's see.
Can we hear about that one?
Well, I'm trying to think. My wife and I wrote a story, a children's book story a couple years ago that I just haven't really started, but it's about a kid who has autism. So obviously inspired by my kids, but it's, I forget the name of it. I'm really bad at this. I forget the name of all the things I've created. no, but we're working on something. It's about a autistic kid who expects everything to go a certain way. And then when it doesn't, he has frustrations and it's kind of like a journey through his day of everything going wrong, but how he deals and copes with it and how his friends like understand, you know, that he has autism and they can help him out and everything else. So something that we wrote years ago and I started it and then I just put it away and then I keep getting busy with this guy's books. So maybe I'll come back to that someday, but
no, those are, but it's neat to hear and it's refreshing to hear that a lot of that does go into what you're creating, which is super neat. And it'll be super neat for your kids as they get older and they start to have kids. I would imagine they say, you know, this book that was written was kind of based on this when I was a child. Mm-hmm. So that's super, super neat to hear and super cool for them. This is a good place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can find us on their app. You can get their app at the Google Play Store, or the Apple iTunes Store. And if you like the Dad Experience, stick around to the end of this episode and hear about another great parenting podcast that if you love ours, we're sure you're going to like. So stick around after the break. More about parenting and books and reading. So stick around. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. We are here with Casey and Alex, authors of an outstanding author and illustrator of an outstanding book, When I Grew Up. Like I said earlier, my kids love it, and it's just so neat because it's an interactive book. And, you know, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit and go into the parenting realm. So you guys are both parents, and we've talked about that. So, you know, maybe each of you kind of tell us, what do you think has been your biggest achievement or win as a parent? I know it's a broad, tough question, but what do you think? Is there one thing that stands out, or is there many things that stand out that kind of umbrella under one?
I don't know. I'm proud of all my kids, and it's just, I guess, you know, there from the very beginning, I wanted to expose them to, you know, stuff that I thought was cool, whether it be music or different media, you know, films, but, you know, age appropriate, I guess. And, but it just, it's been interesting for me to see how they gravitated towards certain things or how they took on, you know, certain traits or, I don't know. So like we were just in the car the other day and, flipping through the radio and a Ramones song came on and they recognized, like, hey Dad, that's Ramones, right? I'm like, yeah. And I just thought, that's awesome.
Like, I did it. All right. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, so there's little things like that, you know, but which, you know, seem kind of trivial, but at the same time, I think they're pretty cool. And then there's the really big stuff where I was an only child, so seeing the interaction between my kids, you know, the brother sister, you know, bond. It's always really cool when in those quiet moments when you see them, you know, playing together or you know, talking and just interacting and being nice to each other or, you know, sharing ideas and
No, those are all outstanding. That's outstanding. That is cool. And it is something to be proud of for the understanding the history of, like, whether it's media or movies or music. It is cool to experience that and go, wow, they learned that because it's something I love. So it's always neat to hear. What about Alex, right?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this as Casey was talking, and I'm going to go in a little bit of a different way. I think just keeping my kids alive and safe, to be honest, has been like the biggest achievement, because my wife and I have gone through a whole heck of a lot of stuff. So like getting my eldest son Chase through like homeschooling because school didn't work out for him because of the autism, and then getting him into an autism center, and man, being 38 years old and watching your 13-year-old walk down the aisle to get his diploma, like, that's just insane. But that's a proud papa moment. And my youngest, he didn't talk until 3.5 years old because he had this speech disorder. And so we put him through 3 years of speech therapy just to get him to talk. And now he won't shut up. But, you know, just the fact that he achieved that, and then we find out that he, you know, later has autism as well, and he went through some stuff. So it's just, when you look back and you say, oh my gosh, like, my 15-year-old is going to be starting college this fall, and my 12-year-old talks, which we were told he may never speak. So to have him be 12 years old in public school, living a normal life, excelling in band and everything else, you're just like, this is crazy. Like, when you're told when your kids are 3 or 4 years old that they'll never be normal because of what they have gone through, and then to look at them now and say, we did it. Like, they're fine. They're going to be normal humans. So that's one of those things that always comes in, you know, hits me in the
heart. Yeah, it would have me too. I mean, those are big deals, and that's what accomplishments and what, you know, accolades to you and your wife though too for advocating and being those sounding boards to make it happen and not just being complacent, it sounds like. So that's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So kind of the flip side of that, is there something, that mistake that you made that you could share with our audience, that, like, sometimes I call it a dad fail. I kind of like to avoid that term, but if there's been a mistake that you made as a parent and that you learned from, and how you learned from it, and, you know, how you moved through it.
I think it's just been striking the balance. You know, the thing that we as parents all strive to achieve, and yeah, it seems impossible at times. You know, the balance of work, family life. I mean, whether you're being too strict, whether you're being too lenient, you know, whether you're being too busy, too, right, like, all activities, you know, all crazy
balance.
And that balance is, is tough. So I think there's sometimes where I've definitely recognized that, you know what, we're running crazy right now, or this was one of those instances where, you know, I should have picked my battles, and that wasn't the right battle to pick, you know. But so yeah, it's like everything. You learn every day. You learn from those little instances, whether it be a mistake to improve upon, or just, you know, recognizing that yes, you did do the right thing, and you know, that's the way to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when I think of, I wouldn't call it a, well, it's kind of a fail, but it's definitely a learning moment. Big job as an adult when I had kids, I was working 10 to 12 hours a day, working in retail as an art director, which was fantastic. But like my wife always said, was she felt like a single parent because I was working so hard. And in my head, I was working so hard and so often and trying to succeed in my career that I was, you know, providing for the family. And I worked there for 8 years, and then one day they laid me off. So suddenly all the work that I had done to provide for them was gone. And I went from making like X amount of money to like nothing. So all that was for nothing. And so it dawned on me that I need to spend more time with the kids. But by that time, you know, they were 10 years old, 8 years old. So I feel like I had missed very important moments of their early childhood. I mean, I was there obviously, but so now what's funny is now that I want to spend more time with them, they're teenagers, so they don't care. They're just like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, you want to do stuff. Cool. I'm here, really just here for my computer and food for the most part. So I do feel like there's this little bit of regret that trying to support them in my career, using my career, I should have been spending more time with them, like watching them grow up. So that's probably the biggest fail, I guess you could say. But now it's all fine and good, and we're all wonderful and happy now, but it was a rough couple of years, not gonna lie.
No, and it would be, and it's good to hear that people have gone through that, because I think that's a part of our culture, though. I think it's a part of our culture to be like, I have to be at work, I have to provide, I have to do this, I have to give them all the hours. And then at some point, somebody said to me, last couple of days, that like, you work so that you can live and provide and be happy. So it's not like you need to be there all the time. So finding, like you guys said earlier, the balance is key, because you're really trying to do that and put in all the hours in so you can do all these extra things. But if you're always working, you can't do the extra stuff. So I think it is important to hear and realize and take a step back from. You know, we have a reoccurring segment. We kind of hit on it, but maybe there's that one thing that sticks out for both of you guys. But our reoccurring segment are things that we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. And we always ask our guests, what is that one thing that you can't wait to see through your children's eyes or experience through their eyes as a child again, and something that you did maybe as a child? So it could be anything from a movie or your first movie to Disney World to whatever, you know, graduating high school, all those things. Or is there something that you have already experienced or you can't wait to experience through your children's eyes?
I'll let you go first instead.
Oh, great. I don't get a chance to think about it. That's tricky. So there's been a couple things that we've got to experience through our kids' eyes, like going on a plane ride for the first time. Like that was just so fun to watch them, you know, experience that. Going to Disney World for the first time, going to Mexico and seeing the ocean. I mean, there's just these moments in your life as a parent that you take for granted and you don't remember the first time you did it or saw it. I mean, yesterday was Star Wars Day, May the 4th. So I watched Empire with my 15-year-old, and of course we've seen it a couple of times, but it's just so funny.
A couple,
okay, maybe more than a couple. For him to watch it again and keep leaning over and going, I didn't see that the last time. Like there's weird little things that he's starting to get so smart and clever that he's actually catching goofs in Star Wars because he's seen it so often. And it's just so funny because I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm raising little nerds, and it's awesome, and I can't wait for these kids to like grow up. And it's funny because when kids are young, they idolize parents. Mm-hmm. My kids are at that age where they don't. And they think what I do on the side with books and stuff is, it's okay. But I know that eventually, like I did, you realize your parents, someday you're going to realize your parents knew what they were talking about. They weren't stupid. They are actually wise people. And I can't wait for my kids to get to that age where they're more friends than they are kids. Mm-hmm. And I think they're starting to get there. My 15-year-old, he's becoming more and more independent, more and more clever. And I can't wait for that time where I can go out and have a beer with my kid, to be honest with you. That would be fun.
That will be. That is really neat. All right. What about you, Casey?
Yeah, I think that's having beer with my kids. I think I just won for all parents,
right?
At least parents who like beer and alcohol. But yesterday was Star Wars Day, yep. And so you went straight to Empire, which is great.
We bypassed New Hope. Yeah. We're like, we've seen it a million times.
Well, we did this weird thing, and I just kind of let him go because, you know, we're around the same age, and we have a certain feeling about original trilogy versus the prequels. Uh-huh. But we started with Phantom Menace.
Oof.
And just went from there.
Okay.
And, you know, that was one of those series that I didn't, I'm going to say not let them watch, but I didn't introduce it until after
the original trilogy. One of those things you don't want to remember, right?
Right.
But one thing about it, and it was just like, you know, one little thing that's featured in all the films, and the Wilhelm scream.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that my kids, you know, recognized, you know, like, oh, Dad, there it is, there's the Wilhelm scream. And the fact they even know that, I think it's, you know, pretty
right.
Cool. There's little things like that, I think it's cool. But as far as anything that they haven't experienced yet, I'm still waiting to go to a show with my kids.
Mm, yeah.
You know, whether it be punk rock, pop, whatever it's going to be. And, you know, just for them to experience live music for the first time. I say experience live music for the first time, but because they have already, right. But not a show, not a concert, you know,
right.
not something potentially a life-changing, life-altering.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I still remember my first one. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to do that and remember all, you know, to go to that. Those are the things that stick with you. So yeah, that's I never even thought of that. That's something that I'm really looking forward to too, I guess, now come to think of it, just to experience a big music show, whether it's rock, pop, or whatever. That's something that does stick with them. So we've talked a lot about your book, When I Grow Up, and all about it, and all about you guys. Now you tell us about where they can find you, social media, how they can get the book, all that great stuff.
Our book is quickly becoming everywhere in Ohio, I can tell you that much. So you can find us on Amazon. If you don't search When I Grow Up on Amazon, because apparently there's about 30 to 40 other books called When I Grow Up. So definitely search Casey Bowers and you'll find our book, When I Grow Up. We are also in numerous independent bookstores. We're really, really stressing and trying to support indie bookstores in Ohio. So we're in most of them in Columbus here. And then we're in one in Kentucky, Mansfield now. And
yep.
You went on tour yesterday, essentially.
I kind of did. Mansfield, there's obviously Main Street Books in Cleveland, Max Bax Books. And then, of course, all over the Columbus area, Book Loft, Cover to Cover, Gramercy, Prologue Books. And then we also have our own Shopify store.
Yeah, so if you're not in Ohio, you can't go to the bookstore and get it, but hey, we're on Amazon, so you can get it there, and you can also get it from us personally. So, which we would appreciate. Amazon takes a lot of money out.
Yeah, and you know we'll put that link, your link to the book for directly to your site and whatnot. So, and can they find you guys, the book, on social media, or you guys individually on social media?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page for our book, which is up to date on all events, upcoming events, where you can catch us. Both of us are on Instagram. I'm Alex M. Clark 78 on Insta.
I'm Casey Bowers 80.
Yeah. And then we're both on Twitter. So, I mean, yeah, you can find us anywhere. You type in Alex M. Clark into Google, you'll find me. Same thing with Casey.
Yeah, we'll put it all in the show notes so people can just kind of just go directly from there too. Well, guys, it's been great. Thank you so much for coming. I learned so much, and I know that our listeners are going to learn so much. And go out and get the book. Your kids are going to love it. It's amazing. I know my daughter, my older daughter, loves it. So check it out. And like I said, it's interactive, so it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do and come up with different ideas of what you can put into the book. You know, guys, thanks so much again for being here. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
And don't forget that the Dad Experience, you can get a hold of us, the Dad Experience on Instagram or Daddy XP Podcast on Twitter. Email us if you have a question for a guest of the show or a show idea or you yourself want to be on the show. Email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. We love having guests from all different walks of life. So thanks so much for joining us again on this great episode of the Dad Experience.
This is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.